Hey, I'm Kat, mom of three and founder of Ritual, the company setting a new standard in the supplement industry. When I was pregnant, I remember staring at my prenatal vitamins and thinking, what's in this stuff? All I found were vitamins high in heavy metals and lacking in the very essential nutrients we need. So we scoured the world for the best quality ingredients, backed by clinical studies, third-party tested, and Ritual's Essential Prenatal was born. Join our family of skeptics with 40% off your first month when you visit ritual.com/podcast.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Bolton from Bolton. Just a quick notice here before we get to the actual show, as what you're about to hear was recorded several months ago. It's one of the first few we ever did, but it was put away because we were busy covering some of the current playoff action at the time. And a lot of the stuff we talked about in this show was kind of timeless. And to the extent that we do cover anything that was about the playoffs, it's a little bit funny actually to hear about it now in hindsight and see how we thought about those few things. But the real meat of it is about covering what we think about NHL players going to the Olympics. You'll actually hear about my own experience going to the 2018 Olympics. My father actually came to visit and we saw some of the games. I saw one of my hockey heroes, Pavel Datsyuk, play. You can even, if you're watching the YouTube version, you can see a little image of a video I took myself of him, and that was really exciting. But generally, what do we think of all that stuff? A lot of things to say there about dress codes in the bubble. This is, of course, early on in it, but certainly still holds up, and interesting to see what we thought about that there, as well as Hart Trophy talk. But the Hart Trophy talk was also a lot to do with what is the criteria for a Hart Trophy? How do you measure it, etc.? Not so much, you know, who did we think? And even then, it was kind of funny to hear who we actually did think would be the Hart. You might want to see whether we were correct or not, and why we thought what we did. But anyway, there's nothing here, like I say, that is. You know, is past now that, we can't, it's too late to publish. So I think there's still lots of it in it for you to enjoy. And I hope you do. So let's get to it. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Bolton from Bolton, the show where my brother Josh and I set each other up for lively hockey talk and banter. So, Josh, what's going on?
Nothing much, as always.
Not much. You rocking the oil back there today?
Oh, yeah.
Feeling the pride?
I'm excited. I am looking forward to seeing what they can do.
Yeah. What do you think about Edmonton and Chicago?
Well, see, I hate Chicago because they're good. They're a crappy good team. Like, I don't understand why they're so bad right now because they're so good. So they're like, they're never fun to play against. Anything can happen with those guys. So, but that's the Oilers just are going. Now, of course, it's like starting a brand new season, of course, without getting into it too much. I know that's not the topic right now, but really, they were on a roll, but they've been shut down for 4 months. So basically, they're just starting fresh. So it's like a brand new season. So anything can happen, and that's the fun of it. But I am excited for this Oilers team, I got to say.
Yeah, I would say there's loads to get excited about, why would you have any reason not to, think you're going to win? So anyway, I want to talk about the Olympics. The Olympics are coming back 2022. Well, they're coming back, but NHL players are going to play in the Olympics. So how awesome is that?
It's awesome. I'm not as enthusiastic about it as everyone else is. Everyone else is saying, no, best on best and the Olympics sucks without the NHL players and whatever. So I am going to be excited about the Olympics, but I'm going to be reserved about them at the same time.
Okay, why are you going to be reserved? What do you mean? For what reason? Well,
okay, I'll get into it then. And this is another one of those things we talked about last show about, one of our last shows about the Leafs culture and how they always ask the Leafs what they want. And I just remember Mike Babcock when he was like, for the few months he was a coach, or it seemed like a few months because they let him go so quickly. But anyway, he just always, what does Mike Babcock think about this? What does Mike Babcock think about that? And I just remember them asking him about players going to the Olympics. And why should NHL players go to the Olympics? And the reasons everyone gives, not just him, but I just remember him specifically saying it because everyone like loved him at the time. And whatever he said was gospel. And he's like, well, because it's a great opportunity for the players love it. They just enjoy representing their country. And, you know, I think that they really enjoy the experience and all that. Like, so how can you take it away from them, basically?
Yep. But, okay. I don't know if there's, you need a better reason than that. They want to go and play. I mean, you know, we play hockey because it's awesome. It's fun. We want to enjoy ourselves. They play hockey. You want to go in the NHL because it's the best possible competition you can get. It's, you want to do anything that you love, pursue it at the highest level you can. They do. Obviously, they can make a great living at it as well, doing something they love. And why not go and when you get a chance to play internationally against other teams like that? I mean, it's just fun. I mean, it's a fun experience. A lot of the guys, whenever you talk to them, they say it was just a great experience being around the other athletes. I mean, you get to go to the Olympics. Why would you not want to do that in your career, in your lifetime? You have an opportunity in a lifetime to do something that's exceptional, do it. I mean, and then we want to hold, you know, hold them back because for whatever reason, I don't know, let them do it.
Well, sure. Those are all great reasons. And yeah, why wouldn't you? But the question is always to me, why would NHL players want to go? Why do we want NHL players to go? And all of the reasons we just talked about are the reasons why I would want to go too. It's a great experience for me. I would like to represent my country. I'd like to hang out with all the athletes. I'd like to have that experience. Well, we can't take it away from NHL guys, but like we took it away from the amateurs. That Hockey Canada used to have this awesome program. We used to practice with some of these guys when we were midget. They'd come out for ice time and practice with our teams, and it was called like the Hockey Canada program. And you were going to be a pro athlete or you were going to be an Olympic athlete and play for Hockey Canada. And it was kind of a different professional route you could take. And you could go to the Olympics. And, I mean, there was a lot of great players that played on that team. We won 2 silver medals, I think, or something in the 90s. Like, we didn't suck. All of a sudden, NHL players go to Nagano. And then next thing you know, you can't take it away from them. That's why NHL players need to go. Was it a great experience for the guys that went before NHL players went too? Yeah, they have those same reasons. So that's why I'm always like, ooh, why does – it just bothers me that the NHL feels like they get to dictate whether they're going to go to the Olympics or not. And they base it on reasons like that. Oh, you can't take it away from them. Well, these guys growing up, they're some of the best players in the country. So now they have an under 17 tournament, an under 18 tournament, an under 20 tournament, an under 22 tournament. Pick an age, there's an under tournament for it. They get chances to represent their country all the time. So yeah, they get one more chance, the Olympics, but that's someone else's dream too. So everyone can always answer questions in a way that applies to why would anyone want to go to the Olympics, but no one has ever really focused on why NHL players should go to the Olympics. So as fans, yeah, I'm excited about it. I want to see best on best or whatever, but I also think that if we think Canada is so bad that we have to depend on our top 20 or 30 guys that are NHL guys and our feeder system is so bad that our next 60 guys couldn't represent us very well, then maybe Hockey Canada isn't at the place where it's at that we think it is anyway.
All right. Well, you know, I hadn't thought of from that perspective, the idea of the ones that are just below the NHL who don't get to go. And you know, and you can consider that. I would counter that, of course, with the idea that in every other sport, it is the best one. It's not like the next best level of the swimmers that go or the runners or the jumpers and the skiers and all that. It's the best ones. And they're essentially pros at this point now. We call it amateur, but there aren't really any amateurs now in the Olympics. It's a pro competition. So I would go, you want to put the best that you have. And if, you know, you don't make the Olympic team because you're not the best skier. Well, you're not the best hockey player. But I do get your point. There's something else. Now, I would say on top of that, too, I would go now to think that we've seen, you know, Crosby, Bergeron together on the world junior team. So we've seen them in Olympic world competition against the U.S.'s best. But we haven't seen the best at the prime. Like this is the best, end of story. No limitations on age or anything. This is just Crosby at his best. All the players at their best get to go and showcase at this time. So I would, you know, unless we have somewhere other tournament like a World Cup or something where you get to see that, we're not going to have an opportunity to see this kind of thing. So in that way, I would say we do want to see those kind of those people. I don't know.
Sure. I love watching the best players play with each other. I love it. I'm looking forward to it.
And I stumbled all over that one, but let me add this. I'll say from personal experience, in 2018, the Olympics were in Pyeongchang. Everybody knows that. I had tickets. My wife and I, my wife was getting in really early. You had to go like over a year in advance. And this was when the question was, are they coming or not? And the price of them was pretty high. And we also had to choose which game you're going to go to because you couldn't just, there were no way you get tickets at the time, especially if players were.
What if you could have a career where the opportunities are as vast as our nation, where it's not about mission statements, but a shared mission? At U.S. Customs and Border Protection, we go beyond to protect more than borders. From ship to shore, air to ground, cities to local communities, CBP agents and officers are keeping people safe. Join U.S. Customs and Border Protection and go beyond for something far greater than yourself. Learn more at cbp.gov/careers.
NHL players were coming. So we had to like put in like thousands of dollars to commit to tickets. And we had to choose. We were like, well, we should probably choose this semifinal or both semifinals so that we can at least, we'll likely get Canada. And then the gold medal game, we hope they're in it. Right. And then instead, so we just had to kind of, you know, gamble where we think we're going to see Canada. Cause I thought I'm going to see, you know, Crosby and all these guys coming. It's going to be awesome. Like, I can't believe they're coming to, you know, where we live. And of course our father came over, for the Olympics and stayed here a month with us. And it was just a great trip. We had fun. Now, we did have fun going to the games, but of course it wasn't the same experience for me. And I, you know, I've never seen Sid play in real life, for example. Now, the one thing that was exciting for me is that Pavel Datsyuk was on the Russian team because he was not in the NHL anymore. And Ilya Kovalchuk was there at the time too. So I remember going down during warmups and I was just watching them in their semifinal. I remember thinking how big Kovalchuk was. I couldn't believe it, right? Because I just thought, you think he's a normal guy, but you look at this guy, he's a monster. I was like, oh, pros are pretty big dudes, right? And then I watched Pavel just skating around, doing his little, throwing off the bank of the, you know, the boards and turning around and stick handling a bit and just cruising around warm-up stuff. And it was just, I was just fascinated watching them. I'd never seen Pavel live either. So that stuff was awesome. I watched them. And then when we were in the other semifinal, Canada, it was exciting to watch them. And then it was exciting to watch the gold medal game. Even though Canada wasn't in it, they won the bronze. But it was an exciting tournament, an exciting thing for us, but it didn't have the same hoopla, right? So you look down, you could see Ray Ferraro and Pierre Maguire between the benches or something like, hey, there they are. It's like almost this professional thing that I wanted. And then, but it wasn't quite all the players. This is not in any way to disparage the players that were there. Again, just like you said, I mean, they're there, they're excited, they're giving their best, and it's the best we had. And I, you know, I was going crazy, screaming, excited. But can you just imagine in 2022 now, you go to Beijing, I'll see if I can get myself over to Beijing, you know, what am I going to see? The Nate Dogg and Sid on the line, you know, the same line or something like that. We're going to McDavid coming in there. Like, I'm going to see those guys play on the same team. When would you ever get to see them on the same team? Nowhere. So again, from the fans' perspective, let's go. Just awesome.
I just wish the NHL wouldn't be, okay, this time we're going to go, and then in 8 years again, now we have to negotiate whether we're going to go again. Either you're going to let your players go or you're not. To make it your own business decision, I know the IOC has their own business issues and stuff. I don't pretend to understand all of that. I know they make a lot of money off NHL players when they go, so the NHL should get something out of it. But ultimately, it's a competition where you represent your country, and your country should have the opportunity to send their best players or the players that they choose to send, and it shouldn't be all about the business side of things. Maybe that's just a naive thinking. But
no, I mean, there's all kinds of considerations, and you know, we're just given one, you know, a couple little perspectives out here. There's all kinds of angles you can come at it from. So, you know, well, there it is, guys. It's out there anyway. Tell us what you think about the 2022 Olympics in Beijing, and looking forward. Do you think, in general, people, we should be sending NHL players? Any of that stuff? Go for it, guys. How about this one, Josh? We got the dress code. There's a relaxed dress code in the bubble, or a lack of dress code in the bubble now. Is that what's going on?
I don't know if it's all teams. I haven't seen any teams say, nope, we're going to go strictly with the you know, the tuxedos and whatever you want. It's always been, okay, now we're in the bubble. There's not a lot of fans. You whatever, express yourself, do what you want. There's some teams that are going to go with some sort of tracksuit, like so they'll be unified, but it's a little bit more laid back. There's some teams that are saying wear what you want. So it'll be interesting to see what the players choose. But to me, ultimately, I don't know why this is such a thing, I guess, is where I'm coming from.
Okay, what do you mean? Like, just why? Why does it matter that they have a dress code in the first place, or just why is it a big thing whether they're allowed to wear what they want here? What do you mean is why is it a big thing?
I guess it depends on what you think about it. I mean, I enjoy seeing the players dress up. I enjoy dressing up when I go to play a game. I want to be professional. But then you hear people that are so violently, what are they doing? How could they just dress so casually? It's disrespectful. And what are they teaching the children? They're going to look like slobs, and the children are going to see the kids. It's all about the kids and showing them what professionalism is. And I'm thinking, calm down.
Yeah. I guess we got to go back then and look at what is the idea of the dress code in the first place. Why, when we, you know, reached a particular level, I remember sometimes it was even in Pee Wee, if it's a particular tournament we'd go, and Bantam was pretty much on. It was like, you're 14 years old. You got to, you know, you have to come and bring yourself, carry yourself professionally, act like you're, you know, this is something you get prepared for and come to do instead of just kind of show up, you know, wake up in your joggers and then go. I think that's part of it. It's part of the preparation for it. I remember when we first had the dress code, some people were always very uncomfortable. When you're a young dude, right? You think you're cool and wearing a tie is kind of, you know, I don't know, I'm not doing that. And then I remember some guys had like wore the t-shirt with the tuxedo on it. You know that one? And it was almost like, and then everybody else shows up with a tie and he goes, oh, it really is for real. Cause you're kind of nervous. Is everybody really doing it anyway? We wore that. You mentioned the guys, like, it's, you know, the fans aren't going to be there. Is it ever really for the fans? Like, the guys show up at 4 o'clock for the game. Like, they know there's no fans there when they walk into the arena. Right. So it's about you and getting the prep ready and kind of, you know, having a bit of respect for the game and a professionalism about it. That means before I even leave my house, I'm preparing. And there's got to be something in a dress code. That's why we've been doing it. And that's why they make young people do it when we're young, to try to mature us and let us take it a little more seriously, build up responsibility. So I don't know. I think there is something in a dress code. I'm not crazy. I don't think you have to be. I know there's something in the track suits. We would do that sometimes on a road trip or something. We were allowed track suits in university soccer, for example, as long as we were all uniform. But then other times it was all about, you know, you got to have a jacket, you got to have a tie. So from when I first heard of this, I didn't really get, I don't know why it should change that you're in the bubble now. Like, it's either you're trying to change the culture fully. Like, is it basically questioning, are we re-questioning and revisiting the idea of should they be a thing at all? Right. Should it be like some of these other sports and that they kind of just wear whatever they want? I don't know.
Well, now we're getting into something here, I think. This is, I don't know. I know this is supposed to be a light topic, but like, I mean, a guy like Don Cherry, and he's, oh, look at these guys. Aren't they beautiful? And look at the suits and this and that. And you have hockey players, though, have, I don't know. You could get really deep into this, I guess, because hockey players are kind of known as being robots. They don't show a lot of personality. Every interview, there's always the joke about the interview, and it's like, yeah, I got to get pucks in deep. Everybody needs to be on the same page. Take it one period at a time, and all cylinders rolling. There's always the cliches that they say in interviews, and when
it is what it is,
it is what it is. You know, play 60 minutes, do all the little things right. You could name a million of them. And that's what you get. So when someone does something a little bit more colorfully, they sometimes get some negative reaction to that. And so especially with all this stuff that's come out about abuse and hazing and racism and things in hockey, it took a lot for hockey players to sort of step out and make statements that actually say something about that. So when you look at a dress code now, I don't know, maybe there's a little more life in these guys. Things are different. Times are changing. The culture's changing. Let's try something new. Now the NFL, for instance, they were sort of over the top in their celebrations for their touchdowns and things. They made rules that clamped down on that. There's a lot more flavor in these sports. Basketball is allowing players now to wear logos and make political statements with their warm-up kits and things like that. So now hockey, I guess, is going to ditch the suit and stuff. Yeah, you can do what you want. Let's try this. Let's try that and see how it goes. I don't know why the bubble matters, but there just seems to be something different these days. And I kind of laugh, though, when people are like, oh, what are we going to show the kids? Well, how are the kids supposed to know what they're supposed to look up to in these guys? Because on the one hand, you always say, oh, look at these guys. They train so hard. They practice hard. They're committed. They dress nicely. You have to do all these things. But then at the same time, these guys fight. As soon as one person comes.
Hey, Virginia, did you know the law protects patients from surprise medical bills? Insurance companies and hospitals post cost information online. You can request a good faith estimate 3 days ahead of hospital care. Know your rights as a healthcare consumer. Visit controlyourcare.com to learn more about patient-focused healthcare laws. ControlYourCare.com can help empower your healthcare decisions. Paid for by the Virginia Hospital and Healthcare Association.
If you're a Kia K5 GT and Kia Forte GT owner, this is your reminder to breathe. See that sophisticated interior? Enjoy those sensations. And now, imagine how you look from the outside and that speed that only a Kia GT sedan can give you. Sorry, I can't help but get excited.
For those lives full of thrilling emotions, the all-powerful, all-fun Kia GT sedans. Kia. Movement that inspires. Limited inventory available. Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely.
It's even close to one of their players. Three guys are jumping another guy, and they're throwing these massive hits. And we're telling the kids, yeah, no, but it's different for you. You can't do that. But if that guy's wearing a suit and you're not, then you're wrong. But then if you punch a guy in the face like that guy, then you can't do that. So I don't know why people are saying that maybe it's a bad representation and not being good role models, when in a lot of other ways there's a lot of things that they're not being good role models for anyway, as part of the thing that hockey promotes to get people to watch it in the first place.
All right. It's
sort of mixed messaging there.
Yes, there's all kinds in that. I would say on top of all this stuff too, you can go back and maybe look at it. You said you even said at the start, I'm not sure if it's all teams or whatever. I think people can do what they want, but you've seen teams with Lou Lamoriello, they're not allowed to they don't have facial hair and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And all that stuff. And you had the Yankees, certainly they never did, right? I remember Johnny Damon coming from the Sox to the Yankees, no beard, no long hair. You're like, whoa. That's the culture that they're establishing. So I guess any team could say, would have an argument, maybe one GM or one coach has an argument that, no, I don't care what's going on with the bubble teams and all these other ones. We're wearing suits because this is how we do. And he has maybe have reasons for it, as we lined out. And then other people might say, well, no, I think it's more appropriate for our players that they just wear track suits because whatever's going to give us, prepare us properly for the game. I say, go for it. There's no such rule as you have to have it. That's never what I was saying, but there might be something in it for some people to argue that, it does set you up for something and it does set an example of professionalism on some level, but you can argue both of these things. I haven't even heard that kind of idea of it. So, how are you doing with that one? You're all right for that topic there, or?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I guess we got one more for today. We'll go for the Hart Trophy. The Hart Trophy, Draisaitl, Panarin, and the Nate Dogg, Nathan MacKinnon from Cole Harbour. So what do you make of any of that?
Well, when you look at what the Hart Trophy is, and any of these trophies, the Hart Trophy says it's the player that is the most valuable to his team. That's kind of what it says. So you could go a lot of ways. I mean, we could look at the three guys there, and they're all very good choices, might I add. But are they? Because, like, some people, you know, Leon Draisaitl, is he the most valuable player to his team? Really? Over Connor McDavid? Is he? Maybe he is.
And you might say this season because Connor was hurt and he did. But if he weren't, then how could you ever say that?
And then, so then there's always the argument, well, people are like, well, the kind of cusp is if you're not on a playoff team, you can't win this. But aren't you still the most, every team has a player that's more valuable to his team. So then the definition of the trophy automatically gets changed and not applied properly, because now you have to pick which one of these guys is the most valuable to his team in relation to other players on other teams. And so then that's where all those things come in. Well, this guy got his team to the playoff. How can you gauge that when teams have to win as a team? If one guy is like easily the best on his team, but his team sucks, well, ratio and proportion wise, to me, that guy should win the Hart Trophy because he's like 90% better than everyone else on his team, and his team sucks.
Yeah, so that's not a very good criteria.
He's more valuable to that team than maybe one of these other guys is to a team that wins. Like, I don't know how you pick.
I think here we have to do better than to define it. I mean, the league and the award has to do it, because we all kind of say, well, we kind of know what you mean. We know it can't be just the guy, you know, if you're on playing on our beer league team and you're somehow not eligible for the Hart, you're going to win because you're going to be way better than us. But yet we all understand that it's like, you know, to a good team, or it's a play, you're in the playoffs, or you're a pretty decent team, or you're the most valuable to your team versus whatever. We all kind of understand that, but it's not defined clearly. It has to be defined. All the full context of what it is has to be defined. And I could imagine, I've heard a couple of people argue that, well, you might have because one of the big things is it the most valuable to your team or just the best player in the league? Well, you might have a best player in the league award. And I wouldn't be against that. You know, the writers or whoever and all the people who vote say, this guy's the best guy in the league. He's the best player in the world this year. Go. And then you have the MVP or the Hart, which is a different award. And it's saying you're the most valuable to your team. And then you also have to add the extra context of given this, this, and this, and make it fully clear so the people know what they're doing. Because you get those guys coming on and then they talk all about, they just sit there and go, well, we kind of differ a bit on what we think about. And that's why he voted for that and I voted for this. It's like, well, why don't we get clear on what we're talking about and before we even talk about it?
Right. Like, yeah, any one of these guys is a great pick. But there's a lot of great picks across the league. So what is it? Is it the MVP of the league? That's a different thing, like you said. But that's kind of what some people look for the Hart as the Hart Trophy. They use that as the parameter for, oh, this guy's the best player in the league right now. Mm-hmm. Is it the most valuable to his team that made his team successful? Or is it just the most valuable to his team? I don't know. I don't know what I wish we could go back and hear what the people who invented the award were going for when they made the award. What is the true intention of the award?
Right. Yeah. I mean, yeah, they might have just thought, we want to choose out the best player in the league. That's kind of what our idea is. And then it got into, they saw the wording and people kind of said, well, it's most valuable to his team. And they started doing that. And then you started to get, some considerations that may otherwise not have been in there.
The same thing as the Norris Trophy I was going to bring up is okay. I don't remember what it says, but I can tell you, we assume it means the best defenseman, the best player from the defensive position. So does that mean the player who's the best defensively, or does that mean what it means right now, which seems to be the best offensive player who happens to play in the defensive position? That's just where they start from in the faceoffs. Like, that's kind of what it looks like. Oh, he had this many points. He's a great defenseman. But the worst part about that is all the things that a good defenseman does. Like, I think we talked about something similar recently with forwards playing defense or whatever, and even other defense versus other defense. If I'm going down and I got Nicklas Lidström on one side, if I'm a forward that has the puck and I'm skating down through the neutral zone and I'm going to Nick Lidström's corner, I'm not going to win any of those battles. So So I don't care who's playing the other D. I'm dumping it in their corner and going that way. Yeah, I'm going to avoid Nick Lidstrom.
Pass it to Will.
Or do something. Do something other than have to take Nicklas Lidstrom on one-on-one. That sort of stuff doesn't show up in these types of – there's no way to gauge that. He was clearly the best. So they said, you know what? We're not even going. So all of a sudden he doesn't have as many takeaways as somebody else because no one's going near him because he's so good. But his stats won't show that. Or like people might not have as many zone entries against him in these stats to gauge from. And I don't get me wrong, I'm not against analytics. I love the way hockey's going towards the advanced stats and these minute details and how to measure parameters. Because, like I said, the way the awards are measured now, there's no real way, there's no proper way to define them. They're just very vague definitions, and then people are kind of interpreting them that way. But at the same time, there's those intangibles that mostly come out in what I really enjoy is the player poll awards, mm-hmm. something that's voted on by the players, because that's your true, I think.
People are on the ground and they're going, he's best. You don't want to mess with that, right? What's the thing we're talking about? Yeah, him. And then enough guys say it. Obviously, other guys have other opinions. No, he's definitely it. But overall, you'll get a majority who agree on that thing. As far as these other ones, like, the Norris and stuff like that, I can get the idea that you would have some people want to separate it as the best defenseman, then there's the best offensive defenseman. I might just say the Norris is the best defenseman, which means the person in the defensive position who's the most effective player, we'd call it, and then maybe have something that's a defensive defenseman award, and you call that a whole other, you know, the whatever guy award, you know, name after whoever, and then that's the award for that, and you really get to distinguish that way. So you kind of allow these guys who you kind of go, because, you know, it's not a big thing to have too many, you know, I shouldn't say too many, but have more awards because, you know, there's a lot of guys you want to highlight. And I even have this idea when I think about MVP, I've always said on all teams that, you know, that I've done a lot of winning with a lot of different teams. And I always feel like when we're choosing an MVP, sometimes it's very clear what an MVP is, and that's fine. You can have the most valuable. You can have many valuables, and then one of them is the most valuable. But I always used to say it's always about maybe that person, the most valuable, and what I call the indispensables, because every player on every team that I've been on has been indispensable to the thing. If you didn't have that guy down here, you didn't win, even though you had the MVP. So it's not just, oh, he made it happen. Ultimately, without that MVP, yes, you don't win, but that's not the whole criteria, because without this guy down here, you don't win, without this one. So everybody in a championship has to contribute at some point, and that's the fun and the how people get so close over championships. But, you know, there still is a most valuable, and there's nothing wrong with declaring that and people celebrating that person. So I really love the idea of an MVP, per se, but I guess we have to do better defining it. You mentioned we just don't have a good definition or you can't do it. I think maybe we can. People just aren't thinking hard enough and getting together. The powers that be aren't getting together and defining clearly what we're talking about in each one. And people are all voting on different things. I wonder, just forget about whatever, your own criteria, your thing, who do you got for Hart Trophy? Who would you pick and who do you think's going to win? Maybe that.
Well, now that we've narrowed it down, we've talked about the award and all the stuff that goes with it. Now that we're talking about the actual individuals, this to me is the same as a debate of who's the greatest top five players of all time. I mean, generally, everyone's going to agree on who at least four of the top five players of all time are, but you're just going to put them in a different order every time. Like, when you look at what, in my mind, what Artemi Panarin did for the
Rangers,
he's incredible. The difference he made in that, the Rangers were sort of a, I don't follow them a lot, but I do really like the Rangers, and I actually like the coverage that they have. There's a lot of team coverage on Twitter that I like, so I do pay a little more attention to them than I do other teams. And to me, it looked like they were just a team that was sort of going through the motions for a while, and then he came on board, and there was this life injected into them, and all of a sudden now they're just a completely different team to play against. They have a completely different thing that you need to worry about. So I can look and see the case for him. I almost want him to win the award. But then when you look at what Nathan MacKinnon has done in Colorado, I really think that he should, but it's almost like not just for this year. It's almost like over his body of work over the last 2 or 3 years and what he's done for that team, that you almost want to just give him the award 1 year just because you have to, because of how he's been for the last few years.
Yeah, it's sometimes almost like you got a few guys that are in there, and then you might go, okay, well, maybe he should win it 2 times and he gets it once. But instead you go year by year and this guy gets it 3 and this guy gets none or something. Like, I get what you're saying. It's almost like, can you factor that in? But go ahead.
I think the change that MacKinnon brought has been slower. Like, you know what I mean? I think Panarin has made more of an effect instantaneously to
his
team.
Rangers were going to be no, like, it was kind of, okay, we're going to rebuild. And then all of a sudden, they're not now. Now they're like, they're dangerous. Like, you want to play them in the first round? Screw that, right? The Rangers are good now. Well, you look out, right? And the bread man is the big reason, right?
So I'm thinking, if you're looking at one individual season, who made the biggest difference for his team, who was the most valuable to his team, I think it's him. And he wasn't even there like the whole year. Like, I don't know, or, you know, like, but Nathan MacKinnon, he deserves to be acknowledged in some way. So you almost have to give him some sort of trophy by default.
I know he's got to be, he's like been one of the most valuable players and emerged as the most valuable over the last few seasons, right? Like, he's sometimes the best player in the world.
Totally. So if he's always like just barely not the most valuable player of the year, but he's the most valuable second most every year, that's got to account for something, you know, like,
but yeah, yet it doesn't. But I mean, in your career, it does. It's for getting acknowledged, Hall of Fame type stuff, etc. But I mean, these are seasonal awards. What do you make of Draisaitl then? Where does he fit in?
Okay. You know, I made the case for him a while ago. He is extremely valuable to his team. And it's just one of those things. If Connor McDavid and him were both in the lineup, there are times where Draisaitl has outshone McDavid. But I think overall, as far as the franchise, as far as the attitude that McDavid, like, everything is centered around him. He is the franchise. Everyone knows he's the franchise. I think everyone's okay with him being the franchise. So, like, when he's on, he's the most valuable player. When he's on. But sometimes he's hurt. You know, he's been hurt a lot over his career, really, for how young he is. And sometimes he's just, whatever, overused and tired. Like, they just ask him to do a whole lot. So then guys like Draisaitl, who is always there somehow to pick up the pieces. So is it more valuable to have that, just that guy, or is it more valuable to have somebody who can pick up the pieces when that guy isn't quite there to do the job?
Well, you got a comparison here in Gino and Sid, right? Sid's the franchise. He's the guy. Gino knows that. He doesn't care. He knows it's Sid's team, but yet Gino can dominate the whole world sometimes. And he did win a Hart Trophy. So because he carried the team a little more than Sid that year, but it never became he's the better player or something. It was just, he was better this season. He was more valuable this season. He was the reason as you have all the indispensables, but he was more so the reason than Sid was. And that's cool, right? Like, why not? So I would say this year, Leon was the Oilers MVP, not best player. Again, right? The best player in the world is Connor McDavid. Like, am I going to get in trouble for saying that? I don't know. I don't know. It seems pretty straightforward, but it doesn't mean he's there all the time. I think the most valuable player of this season for the Oilers was Draisaitl. And of course, the most valuable to the Avs was Nate, and the most valuable to the Rangers was obviously the bread man. So what do you do? I don't know. Like, I don't know what to do about it. I think it's a tough job. I'm not really going to say I expect Draisaitl to win it. to be honest, I'll have to say, and I won't be upset about that. But I really wouldn't be upset either way. I wouldn't say, oh my God. There are times where I have seen the thing and I said, what are you talking about? This is some kind of, I don't know what consideration they were doing, but it wasn't objective. There was something else. But here, I think you can make an objective case for any of these guys, and I'm down with it. I don't know. So I'm gonna call Draisaitl. You'd love to see Nate get one, but I think Draisaitl might be the guy who deserves it and is going to get it. What about you?
I can get behind it. It is sometimes in these cases hard for me to take off the Oilers glasses. So, you know, and I do really mean what I said about Nathan MacKinnon. He's just been a beast for a little while now. And I just think he deserves to be acknowledged. But there's always that guy that comes out of the woodwork out of nowhere. And not that Panarin came out of nowhere, but for the Rangers, he did. And he just did so much for that team that, you know, if you're looking at the one-off year, like one year, one-off, this is the situation at this moment, you know, I almost have to give the edge to him.
Yep. All right. Well, it's Leon coming out of Bolton from Bolton. So what do you guys tell us what you think. Who do you think's the Hart Trophy winner? Why, etc. Ask us some other questions, something you want us to take up on a future show. Today we were talking about the Olympics. What is your view on that? And the dress code in the bubble, is that anything you even care about? Well, tell us what you think about it. Looking forward to hearing from you guys, and we'll see you next time. I should have brought that up in this context. It was like, you know, with Seinfeld, where they're always like talking about the jogging, you know, George is wearing the jogging pants. He's decompressing on the Summer of George. And it's basically, you know what these jogging pants are saying to the world, don't you? And Jerry's all about it. And even, you know, Sid, that the guy who parks the cars, walks in, that old guy is like, he goes, what's a young man like you want to park cars for? You don't work. And he's all like, what are you wearing those pants for? And he's just like all like criticizing him because he's like too cat. He's not, you know, and then the untuck, like it's like tucking your shirt or untuck. That was New York in the 90s. And then all of a sudden we're like, you can do, you know, it's like, oh, just, you know, wear your pajamas to the rink.
Every day, we rise, challenging ourselves to work for what we believe in. At U.S. Border Patrol, protecting our borders is more than a job. It's a calling. Agents answer the call, working together to keep our country and communities safe. If you're ready for a new mission, join U.S. Border Patrol and go beyond. Learn more at cbp.gov/careers.